Cheryl Bagwell is in the breakfast studio now. Cheryl, hello there.
Hi, Fran.
Cheryl, a relatively upbeat view there from Frankfurt, I think you'd have to say. A lot riding once again on this summit, though, of EU leaders in Brussels, to say the very least.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we have to remember this is the fourth summit this year dealing with this crisis. But because all of those previously failed to stem this two-year-old crisis, indeed, matters got worse. This one is really being characterised as the kind of last chance saloon for the euro.
No second chance, make or break, do or die.
I know the cliches are rolling, but as we just heard from Germany, there the view from Europe at least is that there's still a better than even chance that the euro will survive. This is despite the ECB chief, as we also heard Mario Draghi, pouring water on these hopes that it would step in and beef up its bond purchases, act as a lender of last resort. It was hoped that success at this summit would give the ECB the cover that it needed to ride to the rescue, so to speak. The markets seem to think and have been thinking these last couple of weeks that only the ECB at the end of the day has the firepower to stop the debt contagion. But he appears to have ruled that out, which may please the Germans, but as we've been hearing, not the markets. Now, a successful outcome in Brussels today on fiscal union might restore some calm, because among the most, the most significant proposal on the table, aside from fiscal union, is one that ensures that private bondholders won't have to bear some of the costs of any future bailouts. Now, it was German insistence that bondholders take what turned out, a 50% haircut on their loans as part of the Greek bailout. Now, that's largely been blamed for unleashing the panic we saw last month among investors in bond markets, leading directly to bond yields rising.
Because it turned bonds into a much less secure investment, in a sense.
Well, if you're an investor and you know you're not going to only get half your money back, you're not going to buy bonds, and that's why the price of the yields rose, putting the very survival of the euro at risk, of course. Now, dropping this condition now should stop this sort of lending strike in European debt markets, help bring down the cost of borrowing even further. So that may be good. I mean, the bondholders are really dictating things here. But even if the EU leaders do manage to cobble together a deal today that keeps the euro together for the foreseeable future, I mean, we have to remember Europe looks unlikely to avoid a recession next year. And we're also starting to see that impact on China as its exports begin to slow, and that affects us. So as we approach the end of the year, the dominant question still is how bad are things likely to get, rather than, you know, whether they are likely to improve.
And that's the question the RBA and the big banks here were grappling with this week as they set the key interest rates.
Yes, we saw the RBA, of course, take out some insurance against failure in Europe today by cutting that official interest rate of ours by a further 25 basis points on Tuesday. Now, it took a full 24 hours for the big four retail banks, obviously, to respond and announce that they would indeed pass on that rate cut in full to their mortgage holders. Westpac came in last night, bringing up the rear there in announcing that cut. Now, the delay from the banks obviously, you know, reveals that they were very reluctant to do that. In the lead up to the RBA meeting, you remember, Fran, they were all sending signals that the euro crisis was pushing up their cost of their funds on international markets. But as you know, the Treasurer pointed out, and others, the big banks still have ample profits to absorb those rising costs, particularly given that the banks get a good chunk of their money now, not from those markets, but from domestic savers. But on the other hand, we have to remember these are publicly listed companies which are obliged not just to maintain their profits, but to increase them. That's how the market works. And if they don't do that, they get punished by investors. That's something credit unions, who did quickly cut their rates, don't have to worry about. Remember, they're mutuals. So clearly, the banks too would like to end this expectation in the community that they always move in lockstep with the RBA. We saw the ANZ announce a new model that would announce future rate pricing levels on the second Friday of every month to try and distance itself from the RBA. It'll be interesting to see if the other banks follow suit. And also, Fran, if they stick to this model when the RBA raises rates again, because it's kind of easy when their rates are going down, but their banks tend to use the RBA as cover when they decide to lift the rates, don't they?
And not miss a beat. And Cheryl, Australia remains in a pretty good position to weather any potential storm coming from Europe, I suppose, if the robust GDP figure for the September quarter we saw this week is any guide.
Yeah, and look, it was a solid performance, particularly given how we started the year. You know, the natural disasters here and abroad really gave us a battering. The 1% growth in the quarter was, of course, driven by mining investments. investment, but also by a not insignificant contribution from households. We appear to be spending again, at least on things like travel and recreation and food. But the 2.5% annual growth rate that Australia recorded in September is still below trend. And if Europe blows up, we're obviously going to struggle to get back to anywhere near 3% growth, particularly if China is further impacted. And yesterday we got that, not unexpected, but an uptick all the more in the unemployment rate. It went up to 5.3% last month, which now makes the RBA's move look even more sensible. Of course, it's nothing to get too worried about. We're not seeing major retrenchments in the labour market, but companies are showing a reluctance to hire again.
We're not seeing major job creation, are we? Full-time job creation.
No, that's the impact of the uncertainty out there. And in the finance sector, there are fears there may be widespread job losses next year if the share market continues to slump. So the economy is definitely moving at different speeds, but at least we are moving, thanks to China. We've got a lot of room to manoeuvre if the world does slip back into recession in 2012. We have higher interest rates that can be cut further, a dollar that can fall further, and households and a corporate sector, which is in much better shape than they were in 2008.
And talking of the share market there, those fundamentals at the end of the year look pretty good, but 2011 hasn't been a good year for investors, to say the least.
No, we'll need quite a rally now to turn around share markets before year's end, and I think that's a lot to expect, and particularly we're seeing share markets fall overnight again. To date, the ASX 200 index is down 11%, so that poor performance, unfortunately, will be reflected in our super statements this year. Next year, it's hard to see the environment improving for shares unless you believe the kind of rhetoric from analysts that all the bad news surely has been priced in by now and that shares are cheap and worth snapping up.
Buy.
Yeah, but I think expect more volatility, but perhaps not much in terms of gains unless the global economy does dodge a recession and it does pick up. Few analysts think the market will be higher than 4,800 points or so by year end. House prices are also likely to soften further. That'll be another hit to our wealth, but at least you can still get around, 6% in some online saving accounts in the bank. So, you know, the bank's still with tighter credit conditions. That's the flip side. They still eager to get your money, so that may be a good place to keep
helpful,
at least a good chunk of it for the time being.
And the dollar, the Australian dollar's done sort of amazing things this year. It's got up to over $1.10. It's been down to 98 cents, but it's still hovering around parity or above.
Yes.
What are the projections for the dollar? Not necessarily specifically, but is there a sense that the dollar will get back to that 80 cent level, a more sustainable level?
No, I'm not seeing it get that low in terms of predictions, but I think most people actually think that it could still go to $1.10 again. Go up again, like start hovering around, you know, $1.10. So it's been very resilient. I mean, of course, it has fallen back below parity, but parity, you know, wasn't that long ago that we thought we'd never achieve parity.
It was a miracle, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So it's been, the little Aussie dollar has been really staying in there. But as I said, that's a good buffer for us. I mean, if it does, you know, if things get really bad, the dollar can fall.
There's room for it to fall. Cheryl, thanks very much. It's been a wild ride in 2011.
It certainly has, friend. See you next year.
Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell. It's 7:02 on Breakfast.